This is the Levels Network. I am Justin Hoare, joined by the Triple OG Whittaboo Mason. And the reason I'm saying like that, it's got a bit of Bruce Buffer about it, because our boy Lukey is locked in. He will be fighting on April 27th, Gold Coast Convention Center, because it's the three C's back to back. Gold Coast. Follow Alpha Events Co on Instagram. And I'm getting a call from a mate. I will decline that as it's coming through and chuck this on airplane mode. But look at this. We're professionals. We just keep on rolling. You can follow Alpha Events Co. on Instagram for updates. Also, I want to give a massive shout out to our friends, Jace and the team at factorysound.com. They've got all the best high-end audio and DJ equipment. Hit them up. If you got a party, you want to get something going, you want to start a potty, factorysound.com is the place to go. And Mace, it's early in the show. You want to give that a crack or what?
Yeah, I do. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
It's 8 o'clock.
Well, make sure you get into that. Is the BSC energy drink the ultimate solution for boosting focus and mental performance? It has 160 milligrams of caffeine, a clean energy boost to power through your workouts. No sugar, no carbs. Enjoy guilt-free energy without unnecessary sugar and carbs. And it is HASTA tested. So
we're out of them.
If our boy Lukey was to get tested at the Gold Coast Convention Center,
shit,
he's good to go, because it goes through rigorous testing to meet the high standards for athlete safety. So young whippersnapper trying to get in your game, maybe you're getting mentored by Mace, you're coming through the grades, you're all good, baby. BSC Energy Drinks, that's place.
They're the best.
It's a place to go to get the best in the game. So shout out to BSC. They're a proud sponsor and partner of ours now for a while, and nothing but love for the gang. What's happening, brother?
Not much, man. Got after it this morning.
Nice.
Little E-Lab sesh.
I always feel good after
you good?
E-Lab. Yeah, I feel good. I feel like my alignment is so much better when I walk out. Like I do hectic sessions and I've got a good balance with stuff that I do. Yeah. But whenever I leave the E-Lab, and they might not be as physically draining on me, but I just feel like I feel tall.
That's how you're supposed to feel after.
I feel like I want to sit up more. You know, sometimes I slouch a little bit too when I'm doing this potty, but I feel like I want to sit up a little bit.
Shoulders
more.
Back, yeah. No, it's good. Other than that, been good, man. Busy week with the Bulldogs. Got the young fellas there in the full swing, like SG Ball into round three.
Yep.
You know, Jersey Flegs obviously part of the whole first grade, reserve grade Jersey Fleg, because it's under 21s. They're getting into it this weekend on Friday.
I noticed that a couple of the kids that played really well are still part of the extended squad for the team list for the Bulldogs team. So with all the big guns back.
Yeah, it's good.
Really like, exciting.
You can feel them during the week, right? Just a little bit more swag in their step. You know what I mean? I just had a chat and I said, "How'd you feel out there?" They just couldn't stop smiling.
Awesome.
Little things like that, you know. Like, it meant something to those kids because they're Bulldogs juniors, man.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah, that's
they want to play there.
Yeah, that is the difference. When you get that feeling of coming through the grade specifically and getting to represent the team, it makes a big difference. Yeah. In saying that, mate, let's get to it. We're going to roll a little bit quicker. We're not going to have YouTube questions this week because we promise you we had three games that we missed. So let's get into them before some really big news come out over the last couple of days. Specifically, Jared Rhea Hargraves, a guy that we both love, has announced his retirement at season's end. There's a bit of a tweak to the field goal and the bunker being involved. Stacey Jones was confirmed as the new Kiwis coach.
Right.
I've got a lot to say on that. And Luciano secured the bag. And Sticky, believe it or not, Sticky is fuming again. He's pissed off again. So we'll get to all that. But let's start off with the first game of Sunday. Tigers 18 beat the Warriors 16. The Up the Wars movement has continued into 2024. Yeah. They sold out Christchurch for a trial.
It's crazy.
New Zealand are loving the Warriors at the moment.
Absolutely.
They're loving
crazy.
The Wars, and the country is fully behind them. And I guess they gave them a good reason to continue the flow from last year with a really good performance, mate. I thought they were really good.
A few of their main starters out, Egan, Fanua Blake.
Dolan, Watson, as Lesnar.
Yeah, a heap of them.
Chansey's 50-50 for 10, round one.
10 starters out. And yep. they against the Tigers team who stacked the deck.
Yep.
They put all their starters
out. Yeah,
yep. They got all their starters out there. There's not going to be that much change to that forward pack started.
No, there wouldn't be.
And they were impressive, the Tigers, but very impressed with the Warriors. They had a lot of young kids there, and they're willing. You can see when you've got a really good squad, everyone's busting their ass in these trials, right? Mm. The 12, the young kid, the back row for the Warriors.
Laban.
He was really good, man.
Yeah.
Who's the right side back? You got Niokora there.
So it looks like, based off, I've had a look at the teams already progressing this week, and I heard Andrew Webster come out and say that Jackson Ford, he sees as a player that will play more minutes. So it looks like Kurt Capewell's going to go to the left, Jackson Ford to the right, and Murata Niokora potentially gives him that that versatility to come off the bench, play middle, play front row, play edge back row.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I like –
interesting. Because Tohu Harris is still there, lock.
Correct, yeah.
Jackson Ford's – I don't think Jackson Ford's a lock in that team.
Well, that's just based off what I heard from Webster. And the lineup this week, you'll see
– predicts that.
It's like, got Niokora on the bench in the 15. Right,
because he's got great leg speed.
Yes.
And he, through the middle, late in halves, he could really come on and make a massive difference. It's so important to have a player like that. So versatile, who can play anywhere in the back line and play anywhere in the forwards. He's just an animal. But I was very impressed with the way the Tigers played.
Yeah, same.
Very expensive.
So was I.
I love seeing front rows like the young Stefano. Like he had a good year last year. He played Origin. Probably wouldn't have been happy with the way that ended. Didn't make the eight, got the spoon in the last couple of years.
Yep.
So he's gone to the lab. You can see, I can see in his ball playing skills, he's gone back to the lab and he's worked on, I can't just be this big, strong person in the middle just going to hit the ball up with no second phase, no ball skills to pass when he has got it, right? It's about like doing it on the field. You see, he's getting in good shape, getting at B and C, out the back, hitting the front guy, late offload, all that kind of stuff. I love seeing that with young kids, man. Because he's only 22, he's going to be something. If you can add that string to his bow, so anything to any young props out there, just because you're big and strong when you're 16, 17, the fucking shit evens out when you're about 19, 20.
Correct.
So if you don't add these things to your, these strings to your bow as you get older and the evolution of you going through the grades, if you don't have that, first grade coaches aren't going to look at you. Because you're one dimensional. And that, if you're going to go against you're always the big guy, you're going against Tino now, they're going to fold you.
Yeah.
He fold you like a fucking chair. So is Payne Haas, so is Fanua Blake, so is Leota, so is Fisher Harris. What can all those props do? Pass the ball pre-line, got a late offload, got mad foot speed through the line. They got it all. So if you're a big, strong, young kid, you got to add these things to your game when you're like 17, 18, 19, right?
Yeah.
If it's not natural to you. I don't think it was natural to Stefano because I think when he was coming through the grades, he was just this big kid who just used to dominate in every level. And he dominates in first grade, but I love seeing him going back. Okay, what do I need? I need a pre-line pass. I need to get out the back, do these those block shapes, everything like. Then his game will evolve. He'll be getting more one-on-ones in that now.
I think straight off the bat, the one thing I noticed with Stefano before we get to the Warriors, looks so much fitter. He looks leaner than probably the start of last year. Yeah. And I don't know if he had an injury going into last year, but I remember watching him at the start of the year going, he's a little bit off the pace. He looks tired. He looks like he's, you know, second year in the system. Even though it was Tim Sheen's team, basically everyone knows that Benji was a big part of what was happening last year. The one thing that was noticeable straight away with the middles in particular, the timing with Appy. The first try for Seafarth, when he goes over, Stefano is actually the lead on it. They didn't rush him. He's still a genuine lead. He goes out the back to Seafarth. Seafarth doesn't rush him because this team is well and truly Appy's team.
Yeah.
They've got Caesar there to direct him around the team. Jaden Sullivan's probably going to play a role. They really like that Lachlan Galvin kid. Mm. But it's Appy's team and it's all about getting their rhythm, the middles in particular. And I thought all the middles had really nice tempo and shape off Appy.
Yeah. When you talk about culture, right, and you talk about the system and everything like that, and you talk about the Tigers, like, what do you think? Because they've only been around since like 99. Mm. So their game was predicated around skill and speed.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Around the middle there, remember like the two, look who's part of their coaching squad. Benji, Robbie Farah.
Chris Heinington.
And Johnny Morris and Scando. They were all around that era where they won the premiership.
Yep.
And it was a lot of ball playing around the middle of the ruck, right? You had these little, like big Todd Payton was around the ruck like a fucking 5'8". He was going there running block plays. You had Robbie coming out. It looked like that. And I can see, because look at the coaching staff, look what works for the Tigers. Because when I think Tigers, I'm like flat and fast football, through the ruck, a lot of shape both sides. That's what I fucking saw. Because it's like going back, if you understand the game, you have a look back in the 2000s, how the Tigers won the comp was flat and fast. They didn't have superstar players, but they become superstars and they fucking bamboozled the whole comp.
They played a lot of footy, didn't they?
Football.
Do you remember even like, I gave an example, I think it was on SEM, me and you haven't spoke about this yet. Remember how like guys like Daniel Fitzhenry and even Bo Ryan used to play footy as wingers coming out of yardage?
Yep.
So they weren't stock standard, Toto, Taruva run straight through. They used to get out, drop people underneath, the back row would link up with the centre.
A lot of diversion.
I can see like a Charlie Staines playing that role for him as well. I think the beginning of what the Tigers were trying to achieve last year started to sort of come to fruition at the back end of the season, and I think they'll be better served for it this year. In particular, the middles are learning really, like, I think the Seafast try in particular is a perfect example of, like, their timing's so much better off Appy.
It's all off Appy. Yeah. Everything. It was all off Robbie, right? They had Scotty Prince, they had Benji Marshall, but it was all off Robbie's pace and how he come out of dummy half. It was pretty much like Cam Smith and Badiris, all those sort of blokes that I was playing against back in the whole 2000s, 2010s. All off the nine. When you've got a genuine gun nine like him, you got to go use his strengths. And they've got good forwards too. They've got good back rowers.
Yep.
Now they're all the push. The timings looks pretty good for a trial game.
They just need some outside backs to progress now.
Tupou looked all right.
Yeah, Tupou's good. All right, let's get to the Warriors, mate. Really impressive. Obviously, 12 players after that young Teruwe that I told you about, Zion Ma'u. Looks like he would have got at least 4 weeks. Lukey, can you check
4
that?
4 weeks? If the big man from Sipley got 4 and he nearly killed that kid.
Yeah.
Declan.
Yeah, Declan Casey.
Declan was at the Dogs last year and I was like, who the fuck? What happened then? I was wanting to rewind. I was like, oh no, because they don't. It's good that they don't replay it all the time.
Yeah.
Like they used to. I was like, wow, he did not miss, man. That's where.
To be honest, it's before like he come on, he'd only been on for a couple of minutes. He was looking for some work.
Man,
and I can understand. I was just watching him like. I was watching his movements and I can see why Warriors fans are excited about him, despite what happened. Obviously, you don't want that to happen. And he got sent off.
When you're in those positions,
Pardon, mate? Zion Ma'u, his name is, from the Warriors. So we'll see how much weeks he got. But
I think it's 6+, man.
I love
Zion. Yeah?
He got reduced to 2 matches. Fuck, that's pretty good.
That is unreal. I mean, I don't know where he's supposed to go, right? Like when Declan's coming straight there, like most people would either get out of the way a little bit and dip. He didn't move.
He was keen as beans.
He just stood there.
Yeah, he's a young terror.
So it could have went like either way. Like he could have copped the shoulder to the head if that was a different body type.
Yeah.
I'm like,
because Declan gets checked a bit.
Move.
He ends up going
like move a bit.
Yeah.
It didn't fucking budge. That's balls, man. You got to understand that. I mean, I know it turned out awful, but for him to stand in the pocket like that and go, I'm just got to deal with this.
Yeah.
Like that is, half a second there to go, bang, move. Because he's coming down that line, you sort of own that sort of paint. If you're running that hard, he got checked a bit and he still didn't move. I was like, oh, because that could have went awful for everyone.
Yeah.
And we'll for everyone.
It still is pretty
for
awful.
For Declan, but it could have been a head on head, like nose on nose. Gotcha. Like if you got two people fucking right there going at the same space, fucking someone's got to move.
Yeah.
He didn't move. Because Declan didn't move because he got checked into his space.
Correct.
And I'm like, oh, wow, someone moved. That could have been so
That's
bad.
That's why it sort of come a little bit later on.
That could have been the face on face, man.
Anyway, in a couple of minutes, he looks like a tearaway. Love the look of that Jacob Laban kid. And there was a young kid called Roger Tuivasa-Sheck that was playing left center that looked the right too, mate.
Oh, man. Why is everyone sort of doubting him? Like a little bit, how's he going to go the transition?
Yeah.
He's been fucking sitting over in Union going, thank God I don't have to run all this fucking time or like do 35 hit-ups every game.
Yeah.
Sit out, you know what I mean? He hasn't played that much footy, man. He's got fucking so much to give.
It took him this is probably like there's going to be pros and cons to playing left center for him for sure. Yeah. My biggest thing was maybe the first 15 minutes, I was like, because by the time I had watched the game, which was Tuesday after we'd done review, I'd heard about how Roger killed it. You told me, like, because you'd already watched the game. And I was like, oh, he hasn't really done too much. And then that's the problem with value and centers and back rowers. Yeah. The ball didn't really come to him. It wasn't until defensively he got in the game. He made a couple of really big tackles one-on-one.
Yeah.
Then he got some nice early ball and put on a couple of plays. And I suppose it's going to be better when Shawnee's back. Even though he's a right side playmaker, he'll find the ways to make sure he gets Roger involved. But once he did get involved, Jesus, you could just see the class.
He's class, isn't he? Class. That's a perfect word. Just a strike center.
And they were looking for I would say the scoreline against the Broncos game is obviously not flattering for Warriors fans, but a big part of that was the boys Rocco Berry and Adam Pompey had, you know, really good seasons last year, but to have a strike weapon like that in the centers where it might not necessarily lead to a try, but I think it was when
beautiful
he got some early
too.
Ball late in the game, he come off his left and he had a nice little offload on the inside to one of the young kids was coming off the bench. I thought, ooh, there's a little bit of silk that can really take this Warriors team to the next level.
He's never played center for anyone. He was on the wing for the Roosters and he played fullback. That's it. That's all we saw him from one position and then he was in the middle of the field.
He would have played a little bit of just centers rugby union, but completely different, right?
It's just totally different game. Yeah. Totally different game. But like he's got a lot of defenses will be manning up for him now.
Mm. Yeah.
Like if he's getting an early ball, like you got to get your you got to have a good defensive center there. Usually they are good defensive centers, right side centers. But Roger, get you with the right, the left. Like he's got some tricks, man. I'm happy for him, but and he would have been going, fuck, have I still got it? I've only been in the game for 18 months. Like these young cats are coming for me.
Yeah.
He's not young anymore. What is he, 28?
Yeah, he'd be thereabouts.
Luke, senior you player. For a you know what I mean? Like he's done everything in the game. And you're like, oh, fuck, do I still have it? Like when you're out for the game, I was out of the NRL for about 18 months as well. You're like, fuck. You know, like it's just, you sort of question yourself.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so you
don't
you
really
know exactly
know
what it's like.
Yeah, so you just come back and you're like, fuck. The game changes a little bit, and it's probably changed a little bit since he's been gone. Sure. There was no six to go rule. There was none of that 2 years ago.
Yes, there was. No, there was. There was. Yeah. So when Rog was there for the
when did he go? Sorry.
So he went 2 years ago. So he was there during the COVID year when the Warriors were playing over there, and that's when they implemented the six again rule. So he would have been there for the start, but still, they're getting faster. They're getting stronger, and I think the beauty of him coming back to the Warriors now is. He was the guy.
Yeah.
And although he's still elite and you can see he's got the class, he's not going to be relied upon because at what the Warriors did last year, their strike side is their right side.
Yeah.
You got Shawnee over there. You had Murata Niokora. It looked like it might be Jackson Ford this year. Rocco Berry running those tough lines. Even Adam Fanua Blake was getting out that back of that shape and sometimes running that nice little – those tip-ons out the back to Shawnee with Dallin scoring for fun.
Yeah.
So – they're going to have strike on both sides with Adam through the middle, Tohu through the middle.
Sorry.
It's going to be a problem. Braden,
Ueli just went there.
No.
Was that for the next year? Did I read it wrong?
They were trying to get him to replace Adam. He just extended
at the
Sharks.
What was that post? What did he say? Like, did he just – oh, he extended at the Sharks.
He extended at the Sharks, but the Warriors were after him pretty bad.
Cryptic little message. I was like, what is he talking about? Did he sign here or there? I don't know what he did.
Yeah, so, I didn't see that. Was it on Instagram?
I sent it last night to the group.
Oh, yeah.
Check it.
No, I didn't see it. Anyway, he's extended at the Sharks for sure. Right. I know that. I seen that the other day. So anything else on the Warriors? Oh, look, the Warriors fans are obviously super excited. And they did I love, again, what Webster's – the buy-in for the Warriors. 12 men for 60 minutes is
big. Massive effort.
There is a slight difference because you got unlimited interchange. So – players aren't going to be as gassed as they would be in a normal game, but still
fair
it's
point.
Great effort.
Fair point. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's still a great effort, and you can see the bind. I think defensively, everyone was still covering. It was the one thing I noticed last year in the Tigers trial last year. I was like, man, Warriors defensively are a different team this year. They're really working hard for each other, and to keep the Tigers to 18. I'm not too worried about the Tigers as well, not blowing them out. I thought the Tigers were pretty good and they showed signs of improvement as well. So I like the trial from both the Tigers and the Warriors.
Yeah, I was impressed. That was probably the best trial game.
Yeah. All right, the next game was the Broncos 46, the Cowboys 20. Mace, straight off the bat watching this game, I instantly regretted my pick for the Melbourne Storm to win the comp.
Oh, you don't reckon?
Broncos look fucking good, man. And
yeah, they got all right. Playing against a bunch of kids, but
of course, right? We've got to take that into consideration. But I was worried about the obviously four key players that moved on: Herbie Farnworth, Thomas Flegler, Kurt Capewell, and Kanan Palacio. Fuck, man! Like
Piakura, line that he ran, that fucking out ball, like the in out, was perfect.
I say this respectfully.
We wound that 100 times.
Kurt Capewell was a winner. Everywhere he's gone, he's won games. Whether it goes to Cronulla, they win. Even though he was a part of that squad that they go on and win the grand, to the grand final. Then he moves on to Penrith, they start winning. Then he goes to Brisbane, they start winning.
Just follows him.
Like, he's a winner. But this Piakura, at this point of his career and what I've seen in the last, like his trajectory.
Oh, he's
he looks like a player. Mate. Selwyn. When I was watching Selwyn play in the centres, he reminded me of Hamiso in this sense. I used to watch Hamiso at the Cowboys before he went to the Dolphins, and I go, looks like he doesn't care. Like, he looks like it's too easy. And sometimes I think that's because he's not involved in the game as much.
Mm.
Obviously, Scotty Drinkwater sort of took over the fullback spot at the Cowboys, and Hamiso was coming in playing on the wing. Because he plays the game so easily, just like Selwyn Cobbo, different sort of athletes, but similar in the sense where I feel like the game comes to him so easy.
And Latrell, all those guys, man, they're just natural players, bro.
It's not until specifically that they're in the game a little bit more that you start to notice, like, oh, shit, like,
yeah.
it's not like he doesn't care. It's just like he's just like so natural. And he and if he was involved more, like Hamiso was last year for the Dolphins, you're like, oh shit, he is that dude.
Yeah, it's not that hard for him. It's not that hard for those players.
Those players who've got
so much talent,
yep.
been doing it since they were born. It's not hard to like to do the shit that we're looking at. Fuck, that's hard. They just make it look so easy, man. Mm. All the greats do that.
That left edge is going to be a problem.
Billy Slater, all those guys like GI, like all the guys that are Matty Bowen. I'm like, hey, do that. Mm. These moves so beautiful. You just watch them all day. Great movers like Willie Tonga and that. I remember Willie Tonga's 102 kilo and 6'3". Mm. How do you move like that?
Silky.
Your body shouldn't be able to move and shake like that. Justin Hodges, they're all like big boys. People don't realize how big they are. They said Mark Gasnier. You know what I mean? Like they're 6'4" guys, yeah. 102 kilos. They can just move like that.
Yeah,
get the ball, move with the ball. Until you see just a normal person try and move with the ball, how uncoordinated they are. Try and get an out ball on someone like that. What P. Kura did, he made that look easy, bro. That was highly skilled. To nail that line, guys like Sonny Bill and all that, Anthony Tupou, they used to love that line, that in and out
Toops
line.
Was fucking Toops
was a gun at it, man.
Sammy Thaido was really
slept
on.
Really good, like just a bang, just shake it with the ball.
I can remember Sammy doing it in Origins back in the day.
Right on the line all the time. He just, especially on their right side, come off his left foot.
Sammy could catch it in the one motion and flick it back inside to Billy too.
That's like, what I mean. Like, that's what separated there. The talent's like that.
Yeah.
It's natural. It's not like you're doing that at the highest level. What are you doing at training?
Mm.
You're flicking balls about 30 metres hitting people on the chest.
So my biggest problem with the Broncos was the players that they lost. But Pia Korda looks like he's going to fix that, right?
That's not a problem.
Selwyn Cobbo looks like he's going to be able to slot in and fill that left centre position. Corey Oates then comes off the wing. A guy who's been around and done it for a while. He goes on the left wing where Cobbo would have been, as in Jesse Arthurs was on the left, but it looks like Jesse will probably go to the right with Katoni. And then the big one, I suppose, through the middle, Keenan Palacio was a good player, but he was coming off the bench for him. And
Thomas Flegler.
That Xavier Willison looks like he could be a great fit, either starting or coming off the bench.
And Jensen did a job.
Jensen was
good. All he has to do is whatever he just did on the weekend. Just nail it through the middle, work hard in defence. You got the big boy next year, Payne Haas, who just doesn't stop.
Very, very impressive, the Broncos. I thought the young gun Cowboys were good too. Like, not a lot of household names in the sense were like young kids that I'd heard about or got a whole lot of hype. But I feel like Todd Payton's definitely building something down there. There was Fine Fuiaki was probably the most renowned player. Yeah. They had, is it Jolliffe? I think Jolliffe was – oh, no, sorry, Sam McIntyre. He'd come from the Titans. He was playing through the middle. He had a good shot on Selwyn Cobbo.
Yeah.
Knocked Selwyn Cobbo around a little bit. But
the 13? Who was the 13?
Yeah, the 13.
He's good.
Yeah, Sam McIntyre. Dog, man. He looks like he's got a spot on the bench this 100%. Week too.
100%. He's good. You need one of those.
I think with the Cowboys, they're going to – Todd Payton spoke about this. We'll get to Luciano news in a bit. They've got a really good nursery up there in North Queensland, and there are some players that are going to come through – in the next couple of years that I think could turn the Cowboys into a proper force as well because they went up against a pretty strong Broncos outfit that was getting ready for round zero.
Yeah.
And
they held their own.
We haven't even talked about like how easily Reece Walsh made it look. Yeah. Walshy was just same thing. He throws – he's the ultimate footy amnesia. Like he throws the intercept to Semi Valame and then he's like – he's so rats.
Next
just
play.
Comes back out, bang. He's just going to take you through the middle. He almost wants to come back at those players out of spite.
It's like how it count for him all the time wherever he is. So dangerous.
It looks like he's going to take it to the next level this year. So, it's very hard to really comment on that one in particular because the Broncos had a pretty good, strong team and the Cowboys didn't have really any of their starters. And just like similar in this trial, the Dolphins 26 beat the Titans 14. The young gun Titans had a good crack for a long time. It was very close going into halftime, but I thought one thing that stood out for me, I love the move of Herbie Farnworth from the left playing at the Broncos. Mm. They move him over. There was reports that he was going to play right. He lines up on the right, and I think it's a great move because I think, for me, Isaiah Kotoa is the future, and they've got to find out if he is indeed the dude there in the halves because it's the one part that I worry about with the Dolphins. I like their forward pack. I love their back line. So you put him on the right edge and he started the game well, putting Herbie Farnworth through with a nice little short ball. You've got Felice Kaufusi, Isaiah Kotoa, Herbie Farnworth, and Jermaine Asako.
That's a good sign.
That's a good right edge for a young playmaker.
Do you think with halves, right, do you think that they should sort of look at implementing something like, you know, the NFL do with the quarterbacks, like have a four-year rookie contract and then negotiate? Like give them at least 4 years in the game before you judge them. Right?
Yes.
I'd give him like exactly 4 years there, 19, 20, 21, 20. By the time they're 22, then you can reassess everything. Give him at least 4 years in the NRL to have a crack because they're getting cracks really early now.
Yeah, Isaac Katoa.
You can't get it. You can't just throw him in there like that. But teams are now because they're desperate for halves.
Well, I guess.
Be patient, man.
Well, it's like, yeah, for sure. Teams are always going to throw young playmakers in there. It's more the coaching staff that have got to show the patience more than anything.
But I was just seeing the other day.
Fans are always going to get restless, right? Fans are always going to be like, oh, these young kids fucking, you know, he hasn't lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
But as a coaching staff, specifically probably the assistant coaches that work with them more hands-on and just be like, all right, this could take a while for this kid.
Yeah, it's usually about 4 years too.
Yeah, for sure. Like there are some examples where like the 2010-11 crew sort of ruined it for a lot of playmakers. You remember Sean Johnson, Adam Reynolds, Daly Cherry Evans? They all come through Kieran Foran maybe.
But all killed
before,
it.
Killed it from year one.
Yeah.
But they were in probably more established teams. Like Reynolds comes into a really good South team. Chez comes in a really good Manly team. Shawnee come into a really good Warriors team. Yeah. Had really good leadership back in the day. Folletti, Simon Mannering, Manu Vatavai. Yeah. So I guess when you talk about young playmakers, how important it is being surrounded by good vets, and which brings me
culture.
Back to my point with the Dolphins. I love what, you know, sort of Wayne's probably identified that with Katoa. Yeah. You put him around a couple of really good seasoned vets who know how to I think defensively in particular will help Isaiah out.
Yeah.
Mace, before we move off, I want to give Titans were good. They've got a couple of young kids, obviously. I thought Isaac Fasulmalawi and Cleese Arthur are probably the only players that are gonna be thereabouts for the main team anyway. But they put their hands up and made it quite competitive for a while. All right, mate, let's get into the news, eh? Let's start. It's a bit all over the shop, but let's go with Jared Ruiha-Hargraves. I know he was a teammate of yours during your stint there at the Roosters when he was coming through. He's announced his retirement at season's end. He's a three-time NRL Premiership winner, and he is heading off to the Hull KR Robins next year. So he's following your footsteps, mate.
What a career.
The 35-year-old Rooster Great has played 292 games for the club and 298 NRL games in total after featuring in six games for Manly in 2009. Yeah. So I think he's not too far behind Orbo if he doesn't get suspended this year, fucking injured. He's a good chance of catching Orbo, who's the all-time Roosters.
Yeah.
Got the all-time most games for the Roosters.
Mate, shout out to Big Jared, mate. What a career. Should be very happy. I don't think he'll put another NRL jersey on and play against the Roosters, I reckon. Because I reckon there'd be some clubs out there would love Jared Ruiha-Hargraves, what he brings off the field. You know, the culture that he sets. Like I've heard nothing but great things about him with some of our coaching staff that's been at the Roosters. They said he drives every fucking session. He's that dude.
I seen Cheese at Munster's wedding who told me that he'd been going hard and setting the standards.
All the time, every day.
Yeah, specifically heading into preseason for him.
So he's been the driving catalyst for the Roosters teams for the last, 15 years? He's that dude.
2000.
What a great career. Well done. 15 Go and enjoy yourself now. I mean, I want to see what he's like over there. see how they try and go at him. He's still he'll go over there with a whole new attitude as well.
Yeah.
He's still got a fair bit of footy in him.
Yeah, I think good friend of ours, Sean Kenny-Dell, is a part of the coaching staff down there. He played the whole game.
Skidzy got him over 100%. Now it's all making sense.
My son, Petr Hiku, is there playing
He's got a crew there.
Kicking goal, awful. Do you see Pet's
he's a terrible kicker. He always has been. I know how he got the kicking job. Remember at Manly, I was like, how the fuck is he kicking? Get the ball off him. He might as well give it to me. I'll just have a crack at it.
Yeah, we didn't have really good kickers. Fucking his killer kick was against, out. They had the whole derby to kick off the season.
Yeah, crazy.
And he sprayed it right by about fucking 20 metres. It was so bad.
I can see why.
But yeah, shout out to Jared.
Fucking one of the hardest people ever to play the game.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see what sort of role he plays this year. For me, he's not part of my best... 17
what?
For them.
He starts all day for me.
Of course, yeah.
Just set the standard, man.
But I think he will. I think he will start. When you bring in guys like Spencer Lenu and the emergence of guys like Terrell May and Egan Butcher and some of these guys, I would be leaning towards them and then relying upon him more during the like origin break when Lindsay Collins goes out.
Well, he's played himself into that position, right? So if he didn't get suspended, he'd be playing over there now.
True.
So he'd have like, he'd probably get, Robbo would be like, you get first crack at it.
Yep.
See what you got.
It's your job
to lose. We know it's your job to lose. Now it's like, how many games is he suspended for? Eight?
I think you're like five or six, but a few of them have counted. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah. But like, so like he's let himself, you know, he's not going to go straight back into the 17. Probably maybe a couple of regs, depending on how the Roosters are going. They might miss him in the middle.
Yeah. Well, if they start well and
which they,
they've got a good opportunity to start the season, then there could be a world in which he has to just bide his time for a couple of weeks. But when you've got the runs on the board like him.
Yeah, he's still got a lot of footy in. And that'd be like the last dance for him as well.
Yeah, and I dare say
a
lot of the vets like Teddy and that would just love to get him in straight away as soon as he gets back. All right, mate, the bunker has tweaked the rules again. This is for field goals. The NRL has reportedly given the bunker power to rule on and make decisions regarding field goals in a huge change to the way the game is officiated in crucial moments. According to AAP, field goals will be analysed by the match review official in the same way tries will be in 2024 to ensure each attempt is legal. Every field goal attempt will reportedly be reviewed by the bunker before play restarts, with analysis beginning as soon as points are awarded by the on-field referee. So a couple of the big ones are just purely helping the referees out with, did it go over? If it's 50-50, you know, and it's very close to the crossbar. Or uprights.
Mm.
The other one is a rule that they're really clamping down on that I've seen in the first week of preseason is the blocking. I've seen Nathan Brown was penalised for the try in Manly by just being in and around the ruck. I think they're going to check to see if blockers impede the potential opportunity for the defence to get after the kicker. And on the other side of it, if a kick is missed, they're going to be looking very harshly at offsides and are the markers square.
Why are we cracking down on just the fucking goal kick? Has there been so much discrepancy over the last couple of years and cost games in Golden Point? Well, why don't we look at every fucking try like this then? Mm. Forward passes into why just the field goal? It's fucking wasting time.
I think because the grey area around when, do you remember, was it last year or the year before when Grant Atkins, he blew a penalty for someone being offside and everyone was like, this happens every single week.
Yeah.
So I guess now they're trying to rectify that by taking some pressure off the road. This is me just,
we're talking about
this as we go, trying to get those decisions right. And if they are going to, it's going to be...
This is a slippery slope.
Yeah.
All big games, you're going to review everything. They're trying to get out of this bunker, giving them so much game time. Do you know what I mean? Like, we got away from this shit. We're trying to speed the game up, and then we just go back to going, oh, we'll just look at field goals like a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah, I don't have
a fine-tooth comb.
I just want it to flow quickly. So if indeed it does go to the bunker, that decision has to be made as quickly as possible. So you've got what? Maybe 15 seconds to get the ball back? You know, for a missed field goal, if it does indeed go dead, they pass the ball in. During that process, if it's getting worked out, I'm all good. If someone is clearly offside, all right, bang, we go down to the referee. Willie Mason was 2 metres offside. Let's give him a penalty. Sweet. But if they have to indeed stop the attacking team who then gets the ball off a missed field goal, loses all their momentum, which is crucial in Golden Point to build that momentum again. If they lose their steam while we're waiting for a bunker result, I'm not a fan of it. It needs to be done quickly.
I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I'd love to look through every play. Every sport would. NFL, NBA, every sport, look through every play like this. Why just this one play? It hasn't been costing games or anything. Like, tries have been costing games, forward fucking passes and everything like that. Rule on that.
Mm.
Not just get those right. Mm. You know, like, just don't like just pick on field goals where, like, I don't think it's been hammering every it hasn't been a big discussion point in like the last 10 years, field goals.
Do you think
maybe one or two? Yes. Is this cost games like, yeah, okay, we'll get it better. And they get better. It's just fucking everyone's so into the game right now. We don't want to digress and go back to this shit.
You're never going to be perfect, right? You're never going to get the results. And we'll see to begin with what this rule ends
human
up
error.
Doing. Because there is going to be human error regardless of the bunker. The bunker hasn't proved to be perfect.
I just want to get back on fucking TV, the bunker. Sit back. Let the game go.
Get a little KFC advertisement in there as well. Moving on to the New Zealand Kiwis, mate. They have confirmed Stacey Jones is the new head coach, which will get him through to the 2026 World Cup. Stacey said, "This is a huge honour for me. I've enjoyed working with the Kiwis over the last few years and seeing the team develop under Madge. Despite having a candidate list which included Wayne Bennett, who had publicly discussed his interest in the role, New Zealand Rugby League have opted to have a homegrown coach in charge, as was the case for the 12 years prior to Maguire's appointment in early 2018. Geez, Madge went longer. I think because of the COVID years, I didn't realise how long.
There's no Madge tests.
Yeah.
No tests for 2 years.
For 2 years. But he had a good reign. Stacey Jones is Kiwi's coach, mate. What do you reckon?
I didn't even know he was coaching.
So he's been, yeah,
assistant. I thought he was like the Alfie of New Zealand rugby. Like, he was always like, you know, he's just around the boys and he's just like, he's Stacey Jones. You fucking love him.
Yeah.
He's one of the greats. I didn't know that he was right into coaching. So good on him. Well done. I'm not sure if he's a man for the job.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people coming out going, he hasn't had any coaching experience. And I think for like New Zealand and stuff like that and tests, you just got to have good people in there. He's good people.
He was the interim coach, I believe, during the COVID year for the last sort of 6 to 8 games, maybe before Webby took over. So yeah. Was it 2022, the back end of 2022 okay. potentially? I'm a bit conflicted, mate, because obviously Stacey Jones is one of my favourite all-time players. But when it comes to where our national team is right at the moment, and you've got a candidate like Wayne Bennett, who I thought would have been perfect for the role, considering that he's finishing up coaching the Dolphins at the end of the year, and then potentially having a guy like Stacey. I know Stacey's, you know, had his apprenticeship under Michael Maguire, but there's not like Stacey's so well respected in the game, specifically from us Kiwis, but I've never really like heard anyone ever speak glowingly about him as a coach.
He's a quiet man, but
he's pretty cruisy, right?
I think he's very cruisy. I think he's a player's coach. He loves the players love him. And that's what it's all about at the national team. It's not about the X's and O's. You're not setting up plays. You're not doing anything. It's about getting those players to buy in and what the culture's like for playing with the Kiwis right now. And it's as strong as it can be. And he's been a part of it. So I just think that's the natural progression was to go with Stacey because he's been there for the last fucking 10 years pretty much. He's one of arguably the greatest Kiwi of all time.
For sure.
And definitely I think he's been around the coaching for ages now. So obviously he wants to coach. So like he's been doing it and, you know, the New Zealand Rugby League would have done their due diligence. They would have come in meetings, everything like that and tested him and this and that. What's your plan? Blah, blah, blah. And he fucking nailed it.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. Damn. I am. I'm just like a little bit conflicted because I would have really loved to have had Wayne Bennett as our coach. Mm. I don't necessarily think we need a New Zealand coach as our national coach, New Zealand coach to coach our national team. Like I think that's gone in the past, but I wish Stacey all the best. Yeah. He's obviously he was a young fella coming through when my dad was at the Warriors and he went on to have a great career. He's not only a Warrior, but specifically one of our greatest Kiwis. So all the best to Stace, and he's got a pretty good team to work with as well, considering we just come off and we're the current Pacific Nations champions. Sticky, like I said, mate, he's fuming.
What about now?
So Raiders coach Ricky Stewart says he doesn't want a feeble response from the NRL surrounding the inconsistency of whether the All-Stars games is counted against suspensions. Stewart is unhappy that the NRL has allowed South Sydney's Jacob Gaygai to count the All-Stars game, which was last week, against his suspension, so he's able to play or be selected for the round zero against Manly, whereas Sebastian Chris wasn't able to do the same. Jacob Gaygai copped a one-game suspension in the state championship on grand final day last year, and the game after the Rabbitohs went and asked for an appeal was counted for the All-Stars game, which was he was named in originally too. Chris was due to return in round two, but had the All-Stars game counted, then he would have been right to play in round one. The Daily Telegraph are reporting that the Roosters are also confused with the Gaygai ruling, giving Jared Rory-Hargraves wasn't allowed to have the All-Star game count to suspension. Journalist Buzz Rothfield believes both the Raiders and Roosters have a strong case. Whereas, again, on a South Sydney player, Jack Whiten was allowed to use his All-Star game as part of his suspension. The Raiders tried to do the same with Seb Chris, who was desperately keen to represent the Māori, but the NRL knocked him back and said, this game does not count. So
fucking hell. That's just – I expect Ricky Stewart to blow up. What do you expect? What do you expect to have? He's got two of his players, or one of his players, like, or, and Hargraves as well. Like, just be fair. Rule the same rule all through. That's it. That's all coaches want and clubs want. Don't have fucking Jacob Gagai play. So it's because I know it's like in Vegas and stuff. What, you think coaches are stupid?
There's too much gray area.
It's fucking dumb, mate.
I'll simplify this, and I think you'll agree with this, mate.
Let them all play.
Simplify this. If you get suspended playing NRL, you carry all of those games through to the next NRL season or next games.
Yep.
If you get suspended playing for State of Origin or a test match or an Indigenous game, then it counts against them. Like, I know that's that might be tough. If you get three games in an Indigenous game, that counts towards playing in the Indigenous game for 3 years or indeed Origin. But I don't understand why you should be punished for, in particular, if something was like, if the club's already getting punished enough, if a player is suspended playing a test match or State of Origin, specifically Origin during the middle part of the season where they're already losing that player for a week whilst their club team is playing, that would carry on into playing for like the NRL
10 weeks in an Origin, then getting
it doesn't make any sense. Make it black and white. If you get suspended playing NRL, then that doesn't
count stop, for anything else.
Doesn't count for anything.
Exhibition games and all that sort of stuff.
Test at the end of the year. It goes all the way through to the NRL. What do you got for us, Lukey?
Like EPL. Suspended in EPL, you can still play Champions League.
There you go. So Lukey just said if you get suspended in the EPL, English Premier League, I didn't know that too, by the way. I thought that counted across. You're not suspended from the Champions League. And if you're saying it would be vice versa, right? If you get a Champions League suspension, then
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's how it should be because then you don't have any grey area. Yeah. Then you don't. It doesn't come down to, oh, would Jared Rodriguez Hargraves, would Sebastian Chris, would Jacob Gagai have actually made that team? Because then you put pressure on the coach for the national or Indigenous teams to say, oh, like, and then that's where relationships could come into it, right? So Madge McGuire was an assistant coach at Canberra for a couple of years. For sure, if Sebastian Chris, because he played for the New Zealand Māori, remember, Sebastian Chris. There's more, there'd probably be more ideal for Madge McGuire to go, yeah, I would have picked Sebastian Chris, even if he might not have been a part of the team, to make sure he's ready to go for Canberra in that instance. So
yeah, I like it. It's a good idea.
I think they just really need to scrap it. But we'll get to
a lot of gray area,
and I don't think it's going to get fixed anytime quick. All right, mate, let's get to the games this week. Kicking it off with Belmore Sports Ground. Oh, there's a doubleheader at Belmore again. The Rabbitohs play the Roosters, and respectfully to these teams and the boys, they're getting run out in this game. A lot of the stars are missing as both of these teams prepare for round zero. So I'll quickly go through the starting lineups for both teams. Braden Burns, Leon Tahole, Adam Christensen, Leonard Skelton, Jude Saldahana, Bailey Bentley Harpe, Jarrett Sablu, Brock Gray, Ryan Gray, Yulen Gordon. Buddy Gordon's still getting around.
I saw him yesterday down Maroubra Junction. Fuck. Like I said, he's got
to played under 20s.
He's got to be like your age,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's my age.
Been around for a minute.
Either my age or a year younger.
Good on him for fucking sticking in there, bud.
Yeah, for sure. He must be playing New South Wales Cup for one of their teams. Mela Aluni, Shane Foon, Nicholas Halalo, Matt French. And I'm not even going to go to the benchies because even some of these names that are starting are probably just going to be respectfully New South Wales Cup players. Callum Gromick, Alex Young, Kyron Fekitoa, Ethan Clarkwood, Toroa Williams, Kobe Thompson, Joseph Fikitama, Tamara Taipari, Xavier Va'a, who's the young kid that we talked about, Tyler Moriarty, Dylan Napa. Big Naps is in there. Corey Rice.
He's found his way out of Barcelona.
He's back.
That's a battle, mate.
He's back. Mally Nassau, Celesi Fokate. Apologies for a lot of those names I would have butchered. Unfortunately, I'm not as familiar with all you guys because you're part of the deep squads.
Yeah.
But our friends and our partners at the tab have Souths $1.55 favourites against the Sydney Roosters who are $2.45. The line is -4.5, and I say this respectfully to all you punters, if you're punting on this...
Don't punt on this game.
Yeah.
Do not. You will not have a clue who's going to win.
You must really love rugby league.
If anyone's having a punt, you're a degenerate if you're having a punt on this one. Come on, let it go.
All right, the next game is going to be a good one, Mace, because there are a few more players that are back for both teams. The Sharks play your Bulldogs in the second game at Belmore, and the Sharks have got a few familiar faces back. Will Kennedy at fullback, Sione Katoa, Ronaldo Mulitalo in the centres, Jesse Ramian, Sifatelakai in the centres, Braden Trindle and Nicholas Hines are back from the Indigenous game, Oregon Fufusi and Royce Hunt up front with Blake Braley at hooker, Britton Nikara, Teague Wilton, Cam McInnes. Cam McInnes the skipper too.
Mm.
Was Nico Hines skipper last year? No, Dal Finucane. Dal Finucane.
Finucane.
But I think Nico took over for a little bit when Finucane was out suspended. Jack Williams, Jesse Calhoun, Toby Rudolph, Tom Hazelton, and a lot of the younger kids that are on the bench. As for your Bulldogs, Mace, the new recruits, some of the new recruits are back. Blake Taff, fullback. Blake Wilson, I thought was really good for you guys. We didn't speak much about on the weekend on Monday. Josh Adokar, Bronson Sherry retains his centre spot with Stephen Crichton in the centres.
Nice.
Matt Burton and Mattis Hutchinson. Drew keeps the seventh spot. In the front row, Max King with Poasa Famasuli, who was really good.
Really good.
In the first trial, Reid Marnie is obviously the hooker. Viliami Kikau will play his first trial with Jacob Preston on one side. Jamin Salmon retains the lock spot with Kurt Mann on the bench. Samuel Hughes, Mattis Curran of the Josh variety, and Curtis Morin is a 17. With, like I said, a couple of those young kids, Joash Papalai and Bailey Hayward, who are really good in the extended squad.
Get rewarded, man. It's good.
Our friends and our partners at the tab have Cronulla $1.60 favourites with the Bulldogs $2.35. The line is plus 3.5. Who are you most excited to see in this game, mate?
Let's see how Hutchison goes with Burton. Those long shifts, and I still want to see kicks come out of the blocks. You know, he hasn't played for a while now. Like Max King, Reid Marnie, Critter, like all of them. That left edge would be interesting. See how Cherry goes with kick out there. He's got a little bit of diversion now. See how Taff goes out the back. Cherry getting early ball. Left center. Does Critter get any ball on the right side center? Like, see how we can get it to him. Like,
yeah. Where do you anticipate Critter playing? Because Sherry played left, and Critter's very versatile. Do you think he'll play right center or left center?
I think Critter's going to play right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Be interesting, but I don't know. I honestly don't know. Yeah. It'll be. Does he play fullback a little bit? Does Taff get a rest? I'm not sure. Like, what he's going to do?
I dare say that'd be. At least experimenting with that in the second half.
Be interesting to see how the combinations go and how we, like last week against Melbourne, no disrespect, was like the academy side, right? Shift to shift.
A lot of Queensland players.
The long shift. See how like you go against a really good defensive unit. Cronulla's a very good defensive unit. Fitzy don't fuck around. He's like zero. They come out, this is not a trial game.
Yeah, and they were poor defensively on the left edge last year, so they'll be looking to fix that up really quickly. So that could be a good battle. That's something I'm looking forward to. I thought you predominantly went with that nice shape from left to right, but that was because you didn't have Viliami Kikau on the left. So I wonder if they're going to go a little bit more that way.
Mm.
But the problem that the Sharks had last year was defensively on that left edge. Mm. So let's see what Braden Trindle or Teague Wilton toss up.
But as I said last week with Melbourne, like there was no pressure under the ball. When I say under the ball, people, so when the ball goes past you, that doesn't mean your job's done as a middle. You get up and you chase and hunt from the middle. They're going to be hunting from like as soon as that pass is thrown from marker A, B, C, and then see it's pass. That's what I mean. Like you got to have a little bit of diversion. I got lazy on the inside if someone rushes up. You have a lead man, a person out the back. You got to have a few options, and like Cronulla will make you hit those options because they're very good defensively.
Sharky's going to be very Royce-y.
Royce starting. Nice hunt.
Looking forward to this game. A few matchups, a few stars back, and combinations are going to be crucial because I have a feeling both teams now want to give their starters a crack and potentially you might not see their starters next week considering the amount of minutes that Braden Trindle and Nicholas Hines in particular played in the All-Stars game.
You don't reckon?
They played big minutes.
Yeah, maybe Cronulla.
I think they might have a good solid 40 to 60 out of their starters and we probably won't see their starters until round one.
I'd be doing that if I was Fitzy.
Yep.
You know what you're going to get.
All right, mate, let's move on to the next game. And the next game is, let me get out of this, pardon me. The first game on Saturday, it is at Churchill Park in Lotoka. Oh, Fiji. This is the Fijian game. Yeah, the game Newcastle. Newcastle and the Storm.
That's awesome. That is so good.
Yep. The teams are pretty stacked too for the Fijian public to come out and watch a high quality game. And I've seen someone was speaking about it through the week. Oh, Tui Kamakamitha. Big game for him being massive, the Fijian skipper. Ryan Pappenhausen's at fullback for the Storm. Will Warbrick and Xavier Coates on the wings. Remus Smith and Nick Meaney get first shot at the centres, with Jonah Pezzett playing six for the Cam Munster still sits out of this game. Jerome Hughes is halfback. Tui Kamakamitha and Josh King up front. Harry Grant at hooker and skipper. Kane Bradley and Alisi Katoa in the back row. Trent Liero looks like he's making a full-time move from edge back row to middle. On the bench, Christian Welsh, Joe Chan, Tristan Pell, Tyron Wishart, and guys like Bronson Garlick, Sean Blore, Young Tonomapea on the bench. As for the Newcastle Knights, the skipper's back, Kalen Ponga at the back with Inari Tawala and Greg Marzu on the wings. Dane Gago comes back from Indigenous duties in the centres with Bradman Best. Tyson Gamble and Jackson Hastings retain the 6 and 7. Jacob Saifidi and Leo Thompson in the front row with Phoenix Crossland. Stuart Hooker, Brayley's still got a couple of weeks to go, I believe, until he's back. Tyson Frizzell, Dylan Lucas gets the first crack at left edge back rower with Adam Elliott at lock. Jack Cogger in the 14, Daniel Saifidi in the 15, Jack Hetherington, and the young tearaway from Wigan, Kai Pierce-Paul in the 17 jersey. So Will Price is in the 21, but it looks like in the spots that we're talking about, Tyson Gamble and Jackson Hastings are going to get first crack, and Dylan Lucas looks like he's beat out Jed Cartwright for the start.
I like Dylan Lucas. Yeah, he's good. Runs a good line. Right, didn't he? Be good to see KP out there. See how their halves go against a good defensive system, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's the one to watch out for. What sort of impact?
What sort of time does Cogger get? When that first interchange in the halves is important.
Yeah.
Who do you take off?
Do you think they're going to get a full 40 minutes this halves combination before Cogger comes on? Or
you think Cogger, so? You
Cogger
think
come so? On at the 20th minute in the trial against the Sharks, but they're playing against a...
Yeah.
It wasn't a full-strength Sharks team. This is a good test against a really good Melbourne team.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they go.
It's a coin flip. It's a coin flip. What did you say, Lukey?
Sorry, yeah, I was leaning back.
Yeah.
It'd be good. Like over there, it's going to be hot in Fiji. Be emotional for Kamakamitha, everything like that. It'd be good for Melbourne.
Yeah.
Fucking great. The
Tab Khan splitter, mate. We've got him at $1.90 head to head. If you want to get a point head start on the Newcastle Knights, you can get that for $1.80, whereas the Melbourne Storm are -1.5. So I'm looking forward to seeing Pappy go. He'll probably go to at least the 60-minute mark, might even get 80. Sua Falalongo still isn't a part of the extended squad, so he must be injured. He must be injured, because I was excited to see what he was able to do in the preseason with some more minutes.
I reckon Newcastle will go at it this game.
They've got a pretty strong lineup.
They've got a good team, man.
Yep. This is almost...
I'm just interested to see how the interchange goes, because this would be like whatever they're trying to do in round one, right? Yep. If Cogger's on the bench, how do you fit him into the team?
I think this is Newcastle's best potential
lineup. Yes. That's what I'm saying. So what do you do round one? Like how do you insert Cogger into this game? Do you wait for an injury? Do you say, okay, I'm going to play you 40 minutes and then you're on?
You can't really...
Fuck, you can't.
You wouldn't want to do that, right?
Because if you're a half, you're on fire, you know what I mean? You're killing it. Like, you don't...
As a playmaker, I'd just say if you are... Because I dare say it'd probably be Gamble who would get replaced, and Gamble might move to like either come to the bench or play through the middle. You don't want that as a half, do you? Just to have always someone just breathing down your neck.
And you got Brayley coming back and you got Phoenix Crossland. Like, you got these players that you've got to interchange, because you're going to lose those guys. You can't have like... two or three like little fellas on the bench. Can't even have two. You have Cogger, that's it.
Jonah Pezza gets a crack at the sixth jersey too for the Melbourne Storm with Munster out, so he should be able to give it a good crack.
Yeah, I think he's under some pressure too to play well. Just see how he goes in a proper outfit. He didn't have any help last week.
Yeah, now he gets
Now he's got some big dogs.
Yeah.
See how he goes there.
All right. All right, the second game is at Go Media Stadium back in New Zealand, and I've just hit the odds by accident. Apologies. Let's go out of it. Let's get to the team list. And still no chance Nickel Klokstad, but a few familiar faces are back with the OG Rog for this week. Tane Tuipiki, he remains at fullback with no chance. But on the wings, Dylan Watson as Zalesniak returns with the skipper from last week, Marcelo Montoya. Rocco Berry gets first crack opposite Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Another contested position was going to be the sixth jersey. Looks like Luke Metcalf is getting first crack at the sixth jersey with Shawnee, obviously. Adam Fanua-Blake and Mitch Barnett and Wade Egan all back to stiffen up that middle. Jackson forward and Kurt Capewell in the back row with Toru Harris locking the scrum. Mm. Freddie Lussick in 14, right in the quarter in the 15. Jazz Tavanga in the 16. Bunty of four in the 17.
That's a side, isn't it?
It's a good team. Jeez. Look at their depth, mate. So in the 18, so now you've got guys like Dylan Walker, Tamati Martin, Adam Pompey, Ali Lautau, Tom Ale, Chanel Harris-Tavita, and Jacob Laban. That's a very good 25, mate. Ooh.
Yeah, that's solid, man.
That's a very good 25. And equally as good as the Dolphins. I'm looking over at the Dolphins reserves compared to some of the other teams, and they look pretty strong as well. So Hammer's back. He's playing fullback for the Dolphins with Jermaine Astarco, and Jack Bostock gets first crack at the wing spot opposite Jermaine Astarco with Herbie Farnworth, who'd moved to the right. Tessie New retains the left center position that I thought was going to be taken by Jake Avrillo. Yeah. He's still indeed on the bench. The halves are Isaiah Katoa and Sean O'Sullivan. Apologies, I've just hit something here. Get out of that. Jesse Bromwich returns for this game with Jeremy Marshall King and Thomas Flegler up front. I thought Jeremy Marshall King looked really nice. Actually, I didn't mention that in the Dolphins Titans. He was really good playing through the middle. Felice Kafusi and Ewan Aiken in the back row. Tom Gilbert at lock. Mark Nichols, Valence Tafare, Jake Avrillo, Kurt Donohue, and in the extended bench, Josh Kerr, Ray Stone, Kenneth Bromwich, Connolly Lemuelu, Cody Nikorima, Mudders Wallace. So another good solid 24-25.
It'd be interesting with Tessie New and Avrillo. Mm. They must be, you're getting the half a game, so who's the best player?
Okay. You think that's going to play out that way?
Yeah, I think that's how Wayne works. It'll be like that. No, this would be a good game. Some good games. It's hard to review like games like this, right? Or preview, whatever.
Because you don't know how many.
Because you don't know how many fucking minutes they're going to get. This is what these trial games, man. It's still trial games.
Well, Tab have got Warriors favourites at home with all the stars returning at $1.44. Redcliffe at $2.80. The line is 7.5. So
Where's it played?
Go Media Stadium, New Zealand.
Right. Yep. Yeah, New Zealand should win.
Yeah, I like New Zealand and that. I think they'll go pretty hard in this trial. And then again, just like I mentioned with the Sharks players and a few New Zealand Māori players playing in from the Warriors.
I'm trying to think back to the mindset of when you used to trial games. You didn't give a fuck about winning. Just like,
yeah, I still don't think
it's all about
care.
Combinations and everything like that and getting your minutes out. And like, you're like, all right, I want to get 50 minutes out, 60 minutes.
Yes.
Like, you get it out and then you get out and get on with the next week and trying to build for round one. There's so much. Obviously, because KO and everything's put on Fox is all on TV and there's a bit of money. They're trying to ramp the trials up. They're fucking – most teams are picked. There's about two players that you don't pick.
As a player, you probably still get a little bit more excited about it. But if you're a vet or you've been around long enough, you're just trying to get your minutes out.
You do not care. Just give me 40 minutes. Give me round one. That's it.
All right. The next game is the Manly Seagulls Broncos. And this one is going to be a tough watch as well because this is at 4 points and these two teams are playing in round zero. So they've got a lot of kids in there. Right. Bailey Hodgson, Max Lehman, Cameron Brown, Clayton Falalu. He's been all right. He's looked pretty good for the Manly side. Watson Haleta, Jamie Humphries, Brendan Wakeham, Tua Fofoa Sipley, who is captain of the squad. He would have been a part of the round zero squad for sure, but because of the suspension, he's not travelling with the team. Gordon, Cham Kum Tong, Atasi James, Brad Parker, Ben Condon in the back row, Dean Madison at lock, and then a whole bunch of young kids playing in the extended squad. Same for the Broncos. Credence Tua, Sione Hopewadi, Delawese Hoyter, Ethan Quay Ward, Jordan Pereira, Josh Rogers, Kurt Falls, Bailey Butler, Blake Moser, Benjamin Tukudas. Oh, so the big dog's not going over for the round zero. He won't be a part of the round zero clash. Jaden Hunt, Ethan O'Neill, Rory Ferguson, Joseph Tamane, Joshua Stuckey, Cooper Page-Wilson, Joshua Preston. Apologies to all those young players.
Get out there and rip in, boys.
Rip in, try to put your best foot forward and try to get a crack this year.
Fucking oath.
Manly are $1.67. The Broncos are $2.20. The line is 2.5. This will be a good game, though. Now we get to another game that's going to have more at stake, especially for starting lineups, I think, or at least give the coaches a good look at who's going to be part of their round one teams. The Dragons versus the West Tigers at Glen Willow Oval in Mudgee. Tyrell Sloan still at fullback, Zach Lomax and Michaela Ravalawa still on the wings. Moses Sully and Jack Bird in the centres. Kyle Flanagan is partnering Ben Hunt in the halves. Frankie Molo and Blake Mudders-Laurie in the front row with Jacob Little at hooker. Tom Eisenhuth, Jaden Sewer and Jack DeBellin at lock. Jesse Marshy, Viliami Fafita, Ben Mudders-Masilla and Raymond Fatela-Marinar as the 17. As for the Tigers, pretty strong lineup. Dream Buller, I feel like this will be their round one lineup for sure. Charlie Staines and Junior Tupou on the wings. Justin Olam and Stafford Tor in the centres. Jaden Sullivan at 6. Aiden Caesar at 7. Stefano Utu-Ikamanu and David Klemmer in the front row with Api Carousel. At hooker, Isaiah Papali'i, Asu Kapoa, Alex Seifarth. The probably only player that's missing that'll be a part of that is John Bateman. With the young gun, Lachlan Galvin in the 14 jersey, Alex 12, Fanua Pole, and Samuela Fainu. On the extended bench, no one really of note who I think will be pushing, but a few guys that will be, you know, trying to put their best foot forward once they actually get some trial time. Our friends and our partners at the Tab have the Tigers as favourites, $1.74, even though it's a home game for the St. George Illawarra Dragons. It's at Mudgee and Mudgee, they are $2.10. The line is 2.5. Any players in particular looking excited?
This will be a good game. It's a proper first grade game.
Yeah, this will be a good crack. Yeah. I reckon you get 60 minutes of high quality trial from these two teams.
Yeah, all the backs will want this. I think this is the main trial, right? For most clubs, you know, like just, you know, if you want to, because you know you're in the team, man, already, right now. You know what I mean? The Warriors team, half that team is already picked. There's about two players that you're not real sure of right now that are in most of these teams.
Yep.
Everyone else is pretty – you pretty much know what your round one team's going to be.
And some of that confusion might just be around who the starters, like some starters, like John Bateman, who might have – I'm not too sure if John Bateman's got an injury, but he hasn't played in either trial.
Mm. Some people don't need that much game time. He's one of them. No. He can just get off a plane and just fucking tear into everyone.
Yeah, we did that last year straight into fucking round three or four. Didn't
he? He doesn't care.
Raiders versus Cowboys have also stacked their lineups, mate, or was as stacked as they can be. Albert Hopewadi is in the fullback jersey. Atulua Asomoa is on one wing with Xavier Savage. James Schiller retains his spot in the centres with Matty Timocourt returning from Indigenous duties. KO Weeks at 6, Ethan Strange at 7. The big dogs are back through the middle. Josh Papali'i, Emre Gula, Danny Levi, Hooker, Huddy Young and Elliot Whitehead are back in the back row. Apparently this guy's been having the preseason at Doom. Morgan Smithies, he gets first crack at the lock spot because Corey Horsburgh is suspended. Tom Starling, Nick Kotrick, Trey Mooney, Jed Stewart on the bench with, I thought, some guys that were really good last week, Pasami Solo and Ata Mariota in the extended bench. Mm. As for the Cowboys, they are stacked. Scotty Drinkwater on one wing, Murray Talangi and Kyle Felt on the others, Zach Labert and Valentine Holmes in the centres, Tommy Dearden skipper with Chad Townsend, Jordan McLean and Jason Tomalolo in the front row with Reece Robson at hooker, Hylam Lukey and Jeremiah Nanai in the back row, Ruben Cotter at lock and Jake Granville, Griffin Neame, Cohen Hess, Sam McIntyre.
Oh, they're stacked. That's a good team, the Cowboys, man.
And they've got a good, like, extended squad as well. So in the extended squad, Thomas McKayley, who started for him last week, Tom Chester, who was really good, one of the young kids, Semi Velame, Kulikefi Fine Fuiaki, Jack Krzyzewski, and Jake Clifford. Before we move off that quickly, mate, just on the Luciano news, we talked about the Red V. He's probably going to play a role at some points, but the Dragons have finally landed one of their big-name recruits. Coach Shane Flanagan has been after all summer. They've got Luciano Lelua for 2.3 over 3 years. In saying that, the Cowboys have already paid $500,000 out of that first year.
Good, Zach.
Because the first official month for contract starts in November 1. So they've got 5 months paid done. So not a bad chunk, and congrats to Luciano on securing the bag. Yeah,
it's good. I think, you know, the Cowboys probably had a look at their deck up there and went, okay, well, you got Hylam Lukey, we've got the lock. You know, like it's one of the best back rows in the game, right?
It's got the potential to be.
Yeah, it's got Reuben Cotter, you know what I mean? Who's the other kid, the young kid?
Jeremiah Nanai.
He's world class. They're all world class players, right? Obviously, Hylam Lukey needs to be getting week in, week out, but his talent is ridiculous.
Jeremiah and I had a bit of a dip last year as well, though.
Like Ruben Cotter's still that dude. Like that's probably the most well balanced pack in the game. They probably looked at their cap and go, okay, we can free a little bit of space here, and then
trying to extend Hylam Lukey would be a priority for him now.
Probably half as much. And St. George's got a guy there. He's got a lot of talent. I think Flanagan can unearth it.
Yeah, the one thing I'll worry about as well, if anyone's been watching the show to start the season, is my priority on positions, and it's a lot of money. I love Luch. He's not only as a player, I've been lucky enough to meet him a few times. Yeah. He's a really good I'm not even going to say kid because he's a little bit more – he's a bit older and seasoned than some of the other players that we talk about sometimes. When we say kid, fuck, we're 38 and some of these guys are 21, 22. They're kids as in years in the rugby league. But, yeah, I think he'll be a good buy for the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Yeah, they've got to pay overs for him, but – that's the nature of being at the bottom for so long, and I love players securing the bag. Yeah, so good.
Well done.
Happy for Luciano.
Hey, people, like, I saw some little things on Instagram like just hating on him because he's got his money. Leave him alone. He deserves every cent.
Fuck yeah. $1.50 to North Queensland Cowboys, $2.60 for the Canberra Raiders. Actually really like the $1.50 about. I know it's a trial, but give me $1.50 for that North Queensland team. I think they will do a number on him. I even like the 6.5.
I worry about Canberra's backline.
Yeah.
On the halves, I didn't even know who they are.
Yeah, KO Weeks is the
kid from Manly.
Kid from Manly played young Manly. And Ethan Strange is a young kid they've got a big raps on who has played a lot of New South Wales and junior rep footy, but he hasn't proved it at first grade level. Yep. All right, the last game is the Gold Coast Titans versus the Parramatta Eels, and that is played at North Ipswich Reserve in Ipswich. The Titans are lining up. Still no Jaden Campbell and David Fifita. There's a good chance that they're not ready for round one as well. So Keno Kinney gets first crack at fullback. Elofiana Camperera comes back from Indigenous duties with Philip Sammy on the wings. Brian Kelly also back from Indigenous duties with AJ Brimson. We get to see first look at AJ Brimson in the centres. The old boy, he ain't a kid, Kieran Foran in the six. Tanner Boyd at seven. Fota Waker and Palacia in the front row with Sam Verrills at hooker. Jacob Alick, Beaufort Moore in the back row with Tino Vasua Malaawi at lock. Chris Randall is in the 14 jersey. Jamin Jolliffe, Aaron Clark, Cleese Huss. And they've got a good sort of three or four players in the extended squad as well. Joe Stimson, Harley Smith-Shields, Jojo Fifita and Tom Weaver putting pressure on, and we'll get plenty of minutes. As for the Parramatta Eels, all their stars are back as well. Clint Gutherson at fullback, Micah Sivo back on the wing with Sean Russell, Will Penasini and Bailey Simonson in the centres, Dylan Brown and Mitch Moses in the halves, Regan Campbell-Gillard and Junior Bolo in the front row, Joey Lussick, first crack at hooker. We thought that might be the case, Mace. With this stack lineup, it looks like he's going to get first crack round one unless he does something crazy in this trial. Sean Lane and Bryce Cartwright in the back row. Jermaine Hopgood was really good in the All-Stars games. Brendan Hands, 14. Whittemore Gregg, Joe Offengoa, and Kelma Tuolangi, who was outstanding in his first showing in the Parramatta Eels jersey. Extended bench, strong as well. Ryan Madison, Morgan Harper, Hayes Dunster, Dejan Arce, and Blaise Tuolangi. So they're pretty deep as well. Ryan Madison in the 18.
Do you reckon that's a fuck you because you didn't play last year? You're not starting this year?
I think it's a number of things.
Why do you reckon? Because he was one of their best at the end of last year.
Yeah, I think it's I'm not too sure. The Ryan Madison, he's too talented
He's not in your starting lineup. Yeah. You're kidding. He needs to be starting somewhere or in the 14 or 15. Come on. That's a sign there. That's not good.
The Gold Coast Titans are $2.50. The Parramatta Eels are $1.53. The line is -5.5.
I like Parramatta's side, bro. If they can get that shit, they get their shit together, have like some like the Warriors did where a lot of their core players got in the list nominated for Dalian Player of the Year. They can have a couple of those props, some back rows, their halves, and some back fives in those discussions, they'll go close.
Yeah.
They will go close. They've got everything that we talked about in the team. Front rows are top five.
Yep.
Halves top five.
Yep.
Fullback top five.
Yep.
They've got it all. It's got to fit everything around.
It's up to those players just in around those edges to have career best years.
Career best.
Similar to what happened to the Warriors.
I'll
tell you what, one thing I might roll with now, just looking at these last couple of games, these teams are probably a little bit more stacked where you get an idea of what it may look like. I'm going to go the North Queensland head-to-head with the Parramatta Eels to finish off the week, to finish off the last two games. $1.50 and $1.53, $2.29 about that for a nice little same-game multi. And, Mace, to wrap up the weekend, I'm not too sure exactly. I know it's on Sunday, but the team lists aren't up at the moment for either team. But the World Club Challenge is on. The Wigan Warriors defeated La Catalans in the final over there in the Super League. And, obviously, the Panthers got the job done against the Broncos. Because the teams aren't up at the moment, we can't get too in-depth with it. But despite losing it last year, Penrith are still favourites at $1.45. It's going to be freezing over there at Wigan. Wigan are $2.70 underdogs. Can you anticipate an upset in any way?
I don't know. I don't know who Wigan's team. I don't know. I know they got Bevan French who kills it. They've got a good system. But fuck, if Penrith turn up and play good, they're going to beat everyone.
You know what? Lukey, scrap that multi that I just tossed up. Just
he's going
this.
Again.
I'm adding another leg to it. And this is responsibly, of course. Let's go to finish off the week. Even this is despite seeing lineups, I think Penrith will be a little bit pissed off with what happened in the club challenge last year.
Yeah.
So they play with this with a little bit more angst or a little bit more energy.
Bit more
so
serious.
Let's go North Queensland to beat Canberra head-to-head. Let's go Parramatta to beat Gold Coast head-to-head. And let's go the Penrith Panthers to win the World Club Challenge against Wigan. All three of those multied up with our friends at the tab can get you $3.32. And that's a Sunday special from The Scope. We always want to remind you guys, what are you really gambling with? And for free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au or call 1-800-858-858. Mace, I've got Husky on the weekend. Enjoy your weekend. Yeah. If you see me down there at Husky, you see me and Luke, we're going to be getting after it for the Husky Sprint Triathlon. Come and say hi.
I'll be in New Zealand.
Tag us in levels. And Mace will be over in New Zealand playing in the OGs game. Have a good weekend.